اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله، السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد المصلين، السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور، السلام عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت، وبقي الليل والنهار يا أبا عبد الله. لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام، وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات. فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت، ولعن الله أمة دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها، ولعن الله أمة قتلتكم، ولعن الله الممهدين لهم بالتمكين من قتالكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم، ومن أشياعهم وأتباعهم وأوليائهم. يا أبا عبد الله إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وولي لمن ولاكم وعدو لمن عاداكم إلى يوم القيامة. ولعن الله آل زياد وآل مروان، ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبة، ولعن الله ابن مرجان، ولعن الله عمر بن سعد، ولعن الله شمرا، ولعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتنقبت لقتالك بأبي أنت وأمي، لقد عظم مصابي بك. فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم اجعلني عندك وجيها بالحسين عليه السلام في الدنيا والآخرة. يا أبا عبد الله، إني أتقرب إلى الله وإلى رسوله وإلى أمير المؤمنين وإلى فاطمة وإلى الحسن وإليك بموالاتك وبالبراءة ممن أسس أساس ذلك وبنى عليه بنيانه وجرى في ظلمه وجوره عليكم وعلى أشياعكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم، وأتقرب إلى الله ثم إليكم بموالاتكم وموالاة وليكم وبالبراءة من أعدائكم والناصبين لكم الحرب وبالبراءة من أشياعهم وأتباعهم. يا أبا عبد الله، إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وولي لمن والاكم وعدو لمن عاداكم. فأسأل الله الذي أكرمني بمعرفتكم ومعرفة أوليائكم ورزقني البراءة من أعدائكم أن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة، وأن يثبت لي عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والآخرة، وأسأله أن يبلغني المقام المحمود لكم عند الله، وأن يرزقني طلب ثاركم مع إمام هدى ظاهر ناطق بالحق منكم. وأسأل الله بحقكم وبالشأن الذي لكم عنده أن يعطيني بمصابي بكم أفضل ما يعطي مصابا بمصيبته، مصيبة ما أعظمها وأعظم رزيتها في الإسلام وفي جميع السماوات والأرض. اللهم اجعلني في مقامي هذا ممن تناله منك صلوات ورحمة ومغفرة. اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد، ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إن يوم عاشوراء يوم تبركت به بنو أمية وابن آكلة الأكباد اللعين ابن اللعين على لسانك ولسان نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله في كل موطن وموقف وقف فيه نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم لعن أبا سفيان ومعاوية ويزيد بن معاوية عليهم منك اللعنة أبد الآبدين. ويوم عاشوراء يوم فرحت به آل زياد وآل مروان بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه. اللهم فضاعف عليهم اللعنة منك والعذاب الأليم. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك في هذا اليوم وفي موقفي هذا وأيام حياتي بالبراءة منهم واللعنة عليهم وبالموالاة لنبيك وآل نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم خص أنت أول ظالم باللعن مني وابدأ به أولا ثم لعن الثانية والثالثة والرابع. اللهم لعن يزيد خامسا ولعن عبيد الله بن زياد وابن مرجان وعمر بن سعد وشمرا وآل أبي سفيان وآل زياد وآل مروان إلى يوم القيامة. سجدة. اللهم لك الحمد حمد الشاكرين لك على مصابهم. الحمد لله على عظيم رزيتي. اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الورود وثبت لي قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام. صلوات. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to commemorate once again the Muharram of Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayh, and we ask him to help us be part of that movement, the movement of the Ahlul Bayt, to be of the Ashab of the Imams, the Hussein of our time, Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Although it's Muharram, but still, Thursday nights we, unless there's an occasion, we try to keep the message brief. Inshallah, we will have a few minutes of the remembrance of the Masaib of Karbala, inshallah, to emotionally connect, inshallah. Imam al-Hussein, salamullah alayh, in moving towards Karbala and planning this uprising with the motives he had in mind, not the motives of those who were surrounding him for the most part, except for Imam Zain al-Abidin and to a great extent Zainab salamullahi alayha. The others don't seem to have, probably didn't know the extent of the movement of Imam al-Hussein in terms of what the true goals are, what the effects are, what he will be able to accomplish. Each person was able to understand things on their level. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended of this movement, of this uprising, the effects of it on that day, on the people there, the Muslimin throughout the Muslim Empire. And from that point onwards until the Day of Judgment, what God had in mind for that, except for the Imam or the Imams, from the Prophet onwards, the Prophet knew it, Amir al-Mu'mineen knew it, Fatima al-Zahra knew it, Imam al-Mujtaba knew it, Imam al-Hussein and the Imams afterwards, except for them, nobody really knows the extent of it. We, even after all these centuries, over a millennium, seeing all these benefits and effects, especially the ones we're seeing after all that time, meaning throughout this time there have been benefits, effects, but some of the benefits of Karbala started to show up in the 20th century. That's over 1,000 years after Karbala occurred. And we're seeing the effects, we're seeing the benefits of it, we're seeing God's plan pan out in this day and age, and we look and find some elements of the effects of what Imam al-Hussein did in Karbala. We don't know the full extent. Imam al-Hussein knew, the others didn't really know as much as Imam al-Hussein, salamullah alayh, or many of them, not even close. They had a minimal understanding of what it was, and they probably knew more than we know. We only maybe some details of the effects know more because it's been recorded in history and it's already happened. At that point, it hadn't happened. Those effects were effects that Imam al-Hussein had in mind and knew. His companions were told generally a rough idea of what this will do. Those details they didn't know. Imam al-Hussein knew, of course. Imam Zain al-Abidin knew. Maybe Zainab salamullahi alayha. Alimatun غير معلمة, as she is mentioned to be by the Imams, a scholar, a knowledgeable woman who was not taught. This is one of the descriptions of Zainab salamullahi alayha. She knew to a degree, probably not at the level of Imamah. Imamah is a higher level, or at the level of Fatima al-Zahra, that's a higher level. She wasn't at the level of Fatima. Fatima al-Zahra is Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen. Nobody compares to her, even Zainab, as great as she is. Anyhow, Imam al-Hussein, when he moved And he had his uprising with the motives, with the goals in mind that God had given him, knowing the effects and the impacts, had a certain certainty that his movement, his uprising will be effective. Knowing that one's efforts will be effective, at least the effects that the person has in their mind, knowing it, certainty in it, plays an important role in how they conduct themselves and how they take the measures that they're taking. A person who doesn't really believe what they're doing is going to be effective, if they do it, they'll do a very sloppy job at it, because they don't really think it's going to be effective. They don't really think it's going to work. They think it's not going to work. Like, okay, we have to do this. We'll do it. You do a sloppy job. When you want the effects and you're sure your measures, the measures you're taking, are going to be effective, they will have that effect, you're going to put in 100% of what you have. You'll put in 110%. You'll work on it because you desire, you want those effects, you want those outcomes, and you're sure what you're doing is going to get you to that, so you're really motivated, you're going to give it more than any other project that you've been on. How do we generally get certainty of our actions being effective? We, in our day-to-day lives, for example, we study for an exam and we have a certain outcome in mind. We want a good grade and we plan that with these good grades in each year, we make progress towards a better education. Better education means a better life, we'll get a better job, and so on and so forth. These are desired outcomes of what we do, and we give it 100%. Anytime we can look back, each of us can be a witness to our own doings. Anytime we felt that we can't do it, we weren't sure we're going to be able to do it, our measures are going to... For example, there's no way on earth I'm going to be able to get a good grade on the exam. I've missed too much time. I forgot about it, or I got busy with other things. There's no way on earth I'm going to do this. So in the next couple of days that you have before the exam, what are you going to do? You're not going to really seriously study, because you don't think you're going to. You've already been defeated in your mind. You don't think it's going to work. And whenever you do that, if the same scenario, you only have 2 days, you tell yourself, look, I'm not going to get the best grade, but it's better to get as best a grade I can. So you give it again, you know you're going to accomplish something better than if you don't read. So with that understanding that you're sure you're going to get a better outcome, when you feel that way, when you think that way, when you're clear that these efforts will have a benefit, it's not useless, even to the degree that they are, you'll start reading harder, you're going to start studying harder, you give it everything that you have again. And then you'll be surprised, and you have been, all of you, I'm sure, each of us have had experiences that we're sure, when we felt that way, when we're sure that we're going to accomplish something, we gave it everything, we were surprised at the outcomes. So basically, the way we are certain of the results, and we are certain that we're going to be able to accomplish those desired outcomes, is based on what we do, is based on our deeds, based on how we perform. We trust ourselves, we have confidence, self-esteem, it's called. Being confident that I have the ability to do this. Whenever we feel that way, whenever we have that self-esteem, or we have that confidence, that we're going to be able to do it, then we give it everything. We don't have that confidence in anything, in the way we dress, in the way we speak, in the way we do anything, and we're going to fail at it, or we're not going to do too good of a job. The way we are able to have that certainty is trust in our own abilities, which is called confidence, which is called self-esteem. And it's not a bad thing in and of itself. But what did Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi get his certainty in accomplishing what he is setting out to accomplish? Where did he get his certainty from? His certainty wasn't stemming from him trusting himself and his abilities. A muwahid reaches a point where they realize that they don't have any abilities. And whatever the abilities that God has given are, those abilities are always limited, as we are limited beings. Whatever God gives us, you can always imagine something more than that. There are possibilities that have not been realized at any point. Currently, there's a lot of advancements, there's a lot of developments, and people think people get arrogant. That's what this civilization has come to. And I think the pandemic is a reminder, don't be arrogant. You still don't know anything, and your abilities are still extremely limited. They're not your abilities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of this. Whatever we have been able to accomplish, it's still not infinite. It's a certain level. You can always think of something more than that. And that's why people are moving towards making progress in every field. There's always more that you can imagine. And when you accomplish that, there's still more. And when you get to that, there's still more. Because it's always finite. Whatever abilities Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi had, which are enormous compared to ours, they're still human abilities. And they're limited to time and the context that he was in. These abilities are very, very limited. Of course, we're talking about the human aspect of Imam al-Husayn that is confined to that time. There are other aspects of the Imam and the Imams in general that we find in the likes of Ziyarah Jama'ah Kabira that are a whole different topic altogether. Of course, even that is finite at any point. It's always limited to it being given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's never infinite. It's always going to be limited to that. That's a limitation. That is, creation can never be overcome. We can't. It's impossible. We're always going to be creation. Whoever it is, the Imams, the Prophets, and so on and so forth. Imam al-Husayn, with all the abilities that he had, which were more than any other human being, in any aspect, Imam al-Husayn did not rely on his own abilities. He did not trust in his own abilities. He wasn't certain of the outcome because he was certain he can do it. He was certain of the outcome because he knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make it happen. Where did he get the idea that Allah is going to make it happen? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلَ. Who is more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, you are going to do this, and I will make it effective in these ways, and all the details are given to Imam al-Husayn. Imam al-Husayn knows exactly what's going to happen. He trusts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how he's so confident. If he didn't have that belief in Allah being all truthful, the one who is more truthful than we could even imagine, if he didn't have that full confidence in that, if there was the slightest, maybe it won't work. Maybe all these things, that because the effects are enormous. Imam al-Hussein's movement, not for a year or two, not a decade or two, over a millennium, the effects are still being seen, and this is still not the extent of it. The effect of the movement of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is overthrowing all tyranny on the face of the earth. Imam al-Hujjah ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif is building off of what Imam al-Hussein did, the culture that Imam al-Hussein created with his shahada. And therefore, one of the slogans, or the main slogan perhaps, is Ya la tharat al-Hussein. This is vengeance for Imam al-Hussein's blood. Vengeance for Imam al-Hussein's blood is not Yazid as a person. Who the hell is Yazid? Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. Imam al-Hussein's uprising was to overthrow injustice from the face of the earth. Vengeance for Imam al-Hussein is to remove all injustice and all tyrants. That will happen. If we understand the magnitude of that, that's the effect of the movement of Imam al-Hussein, salamullah. He's told that it's huge. He's outnumbered right now. He sees he's outnumbered. People are not coming to him. And being told the effect of your movement is that the whole globe will be chanting Ya la tharat al-Hussein against all tyrants. And the tyrants will be removed from their thrones. Being told that in that context, can you be certain of it? Imam al-Hussein had full certainty what God says is true. So when he was doing it, despite being outnumbered, despite being betrayed beyond our imagination, hurt beyond our imagination, gave it 110%. We, brothers and sisters, need, for the movement of Imam al-Hujjah, we need the certainty that what we do on that path will be effective. It will at least be as effective as we think it's going to be. At least. We have to have that certainty. If we have that certainty, then we can give it 110%. And then other things come, I'll try to explain. Giving it 110% on our part is our taklif. The effect actually coming and it having the impact at least to the degree that we thought. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He increases the effects of good deeds. And so it will be more than what we thought. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. We're not even involved in that. The effect of it, we're not involved in. Doing it, we're involved in. We're part of that. The effect of it though, the ajr of it, we're not involved in that. So I think it becomes clear. Let me clarify a little more. We said, we need to have that certainty to give it 110% so that Allah gives it that effect. If we do a sloppy job, we don't really believe it's going to be effective. We don't think it's going to be effective. We don't do a good job, then Allah won't give it that effect. Because we didn't think it's going to have that effect. Because we didn't put into that act the best we could. And so the best result is not going to come out of it. Imam al-Hussein had certainty because God told him. Well, how can I have certainty? God didn't tell me my work is going to be effective. I don't hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to me. Then how can I be certain? The answer is God has already spoken. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told every single one of us. You do your work. trust in me, do your work in identifying what needs to be done. And if you decide to do that, I will help you. That's one word from God. Guidance about what you're going to be doing, what you need to do. You try your best, I will guide you, I will help you. You identify what you need to do. Then once you identified what needs to be done, I helped you in that. Give it 100% because I guarantee you I will make it have at least that effect that you thought is going to be there. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسَنِينَ. God is not going to allow the work of those who did ihsan, who did good deeds, to be lost. The effect will not be lost. We say, Shaykh, well, many times we planned on doing something, we had a desired outcome, and we gave it everything, and you said, at least that will happen, definitely. But it didn't happen. Well, the answer is, we said at least that will happen. What you had in mind will happen, if not more. What we as a believer do have in mind and should be having this more in mind is that whatever we identify as what we need to do, the desired outcome that we're looking to see is Imam al-Hujjah, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif's movement moving forward. Sometimes the work that we did and we didn't see any effect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it didn't get lost. It will be effective more than what you thought. The time is not there though. The time is not then. The place, that's not the place that this is going to happen necessarily. I've mentioned this example before. This is a good example for us to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yasin gives us the story of three prophets being sent, or rather I should not say three prophets, three messengers, because they are disciples of Jesus, they're not prophets. They are messengers, or rather they are people sent by God. God told Jesus to send these two, and then adding a third one. Three disciples of Jesus were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a people. They all rejected those messengers of God sent by Jesus. Only one person joined them and told his people, you should follow them. One person standing alone. He didn't just believe and just say, oh, that's right, I'm going to believe in it. No, he stood up. He said, people, follow them. Why shouldn't we follow someone that doesn't want anything from us? They're just bringing us guidance. And so on and so forth. He did something and gave it everything, hoping that the people are going to hear and be affected. Well, instead of the people being affected, they killed him. Where's the effect? Well, the effect is God put that in the Quran. And then told you and I to read Surah Yasin, learn from this shaheed. If he thought that small group of people is going to be, that city is going to be affected by what he said, he was so pure and so genuine, Allah made the nation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi benefit from the words of this man. God quotes him in the Quran. Allahu Akbar. Yeah, right then, you don't see any effect. Nobody listened to him. But what did you want? You wanted God's religion to be spread on the face of the earth. God says, I will take those words that no one had ears then and there, and I will quote them in the Quran. Many more ears that are willing to hear and listen to hear those words and be affected and impacted. That's the effect of his work. We don't know when that our desired outcome, oh, we put everything into having majalis and then it didn't happen the way we wanted to. We felt we should have done better. Well, holding the majalis is it's a good intention, but the intention should be beyond just holding, okay, gathering of what, 200, 300 people there. Our intentions are, Ya Abu Abdullah, we want to be with you. Ya Sahib al-Zaman, we want to be your soldiers. We want to do something, we're limited with all the limitations that I have. You put us in the positions you want, make us do what you want. Whatever effect is all yours, we're not effective in any way. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that work effective. He gives barakah to that work. Inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin. You tried to have better internet connection, you couldn't get it. You tried to do this, it didn't work, the sound system had issues. You had to change locations a number of times. You tried your best though, whatever, with whatever God gave you. Your intention was this. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has helped you all to have those good intentions in putting these programs together. If this is your intention, you didn't get the results that you thought, don't worry, God. Inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring out the effect when He wants. Inshallah, if hopefully you guys are sincere, I hope there's a little bit of khulus in this sinful slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is pleased, really, that the effects are not something that eventually, hopefully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us come to a point where Imam al-Husayn went beyond that. These are a certain reading of what Imam al-Husayn did on a certain level is what we just described. There's something above and beyond it we find in our ahadith that is beyond our comprehension. It says you do acts without expecting anything, any outcome, any result, any... It's something beyond us. We hope that by doing, taking these measures, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes this worthless slave of His and gets us to a point where He knows. Inshallah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya مظلوم أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved Imam al-Husayn. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved oppressed Imam. The Imam who was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates, while his mouth was dry of thirst. Ruhi fidak. Ya Aba Abdullah. I don't know exactly where your head is on this day of Muharram. I don't know if it's already arrived in Sham, or maybe it's still on the court of Ibn Ziyad, la'natullahi alayhi, when he sees, when Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad sees Zainab is responding fiercely against his words, making him feel small, belittled, insignificant before His servants, the Mal'uneen, Ubaydullah using the lady Zainab's emotions to silence her, showing the head, your head to her. Ya Aba Abdullah, I don't know how many bruises and scars your little daughter had so far, but you know what's awaiting her, the stones from the children in Sham, whose parents have told them these are Kharijis, these are bad people. روحي فداك يا أبا عبد الله ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك والله hasten the return of our imam allow us to be his true and close companions oh Allah Help all those who are helping your cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and above all, our leader. Ya Allah, forgive us all of our sins. Forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. Ya Allah, grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. Relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses, especially those who are suffering from COVID. Ya Allah, relieve all the people of the world of this pandemic sooner rather than later. Ya Allah, by the right of the Imam of our time, relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Min Nabi wa Alih. رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات اللهم صل على